yes.
I got one thing to say.
Wrestling Podcast.
The irresistible force, the immovable object.
Inside the ring. Outside the ring.
That I just happen to be the greatest wrestling machine alive.
It's all here.
What a mega matchup.
Universal Wrestling Podcast.
I like this kind of party, baby.
And now, here are your hosts. Alex Sacco.
Cha-ching.
And Nick Dieterding.
Special holiday episode of the Universal Wrestling Podcast. On this episode, we'll be answering questions from our listeners with a little help from our friend. His name is James, and he's from That 90s Wrestling Podcast. James, how are you, bud?
Good, thanks. A little bit wet and miserable over here, I'll be honest, but that's just UK weather in general. But yeah, thanks for having me on, and yeah, it's great. I've been like listening to your episodes, and I was really torn on the John Cena debate. John, I don't know if he should have one more title run, but I'd like to see John Cena come back. So I was enjoying listening to your previous episodes. So I was really enjoying it.
That's cool, man. Yeah, I mean, it's 50-50. You either want him back or you don't. You know, it's just, you love him. He's so good for the industry. But then again, it's like, for me, it's like, why watch it over and over again? But enough about that. Sacco, you're really quiet. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. Thanks for asking. You know my feelings on John Cena. I'm not going to delve into that, all right?
James, for the new listeners, tell them a little bit about yourself and when you started the podcast.
One word, coronavirus. I'll be honest with you, Nick and Alex. I've been a fan of wrestling, you know, as far as I can remember. I'm just turned 31. I've been watching wrestling since I've been, I don't know, 3-year-old, to my imagination. My father was a fan. He had some videotapes lying around. And first thing I remember watching was Royal Rumble 91 and seeing all these, like, you know, larger than life characters, like, chucking each other over the top rope and Hulk Hogan winning at the end. I'm hoping that's not a spoiler alert, but it was like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And fell in love with it. And, you know, my dad had some more tapes, kept watching it. So, been a fan of wrestling my whole life. And starting the podcast, it's something always wanted to do one, but it's getting the it sounds weird, it's getting the courage to actually start it.
No, that makes
sense. It does
sense,
sound like
dude.
Really
yeah.
Cheesy, but it is. I don't know if I'll ever get interviewed. I thought, what I'll do,
right?
I love the 90s wrestling, so I'll start reviewing 90s pay-per-views. And coronavirus hit, and I thought, well, I've got some free time, so might as well start it. And it went good. Started off at Rumble 91 and kept reviewing them, and then all of a sudden some interviews started coming in, and I really enjoyed doing interviews, so I thought, I'll turn my focus to that. I have just brought back pay-per-view reviews onto my YouTube channel now, so I've started doing them again, which is fun to do because I did have a good time doing them. But being able to interview some of these people I grew up watching, and it's fucking great. Sorry, are we PG or are we okay?
No, you can go ahead. Shit, piss, doesn't matter.
Exactly, you're fine.
Whatever.
Yeah. I just listened to your most recent episode with Elijah Burke, dude. I didn't realize about CM Punk. I mean, it makes sense now, you know, after the fact. I love your interviews, man. They are awesome.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I'm not getting big, massive names like a Brock Lesnar or John Cena, but some of the names I'm getting, you know, it's beyond my wildest dreams, like Elijah Burke, JTG, who was in Crime Time, and he was in Demand
Money.
Of a Minute.
Yeah, get that money.
And for example, one of the ones I loved interviewing was Nick Aldis, NWA champion. And obviously, he's from the UK, but I grew up watching him, like, in TNA as Magnus. I've kind of got like a little bit breaking news. We're crossing the T's, dotting the I's, but Al Snow, I think, is coming onto the show pretty soon.
That's awesome. Man. So, that is cool, dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's just great. And like in the meantime, I've started a working relationship with Impact Wrestling and with Ring of Honor, NWA. So yeah, it's crazy that like my YouTube channel itself, I think it's, I don't know, 4 months old, probably something like that. But it's getting there. It's, you know, I'm just trying to get them subs up, but I'm just enjoying like doing these interviews. And even like, because people, I think when they do start a podcast, they go with the wrong mindset. They have the mindset of, I just want to make money from it, which is obviously awesome if you can.
Yeah.
But if that's your goal, just making money from your podcast, you're not going to put out good content and you're not going to enjoy what you do. For me personally, I enjoy having the privilege of speaking to these people, you know, who I watch on TV and learning what their lives are like. And like I said, I enjoy getting like the stories and things like that. And
yeah, eventually, that's my favorite part, the stories.
The stories are the best.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, I've done some interviews. For example, this, I don't know when this podcast will be going out, but this Friday, I've got an interview coming out with, do you remember The Ascension, Connor from
you? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Look at you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good shit.
And I'm not lying to you, lads. He's possibly got the funniest Vince McMahon story I've ever heard. I'm pissing myself laughing. I put it this way, right? He was explaining that he was going to be given a character where he was a rat. He walked into the office with John Laurinaitis, and he said, and like Vince McMahon's talking to him, he's like, "What kind of movies do you like?" And Connor said to me, "He's like, well, I like action movies." And he said, Vince McMahon just put his head down, like disappointed. He was like, "Oh, what kind of music do you like?" And Connor was like, "Well, I like heavy metal." "Oh, God." And then John Laurinaitis said, "Fit Finlay says he looks like a rat." And Connor said to me, he said, all of a sudden, Vince's head looked up and he said, "Can you talk like this?" he said, I couldn't do it. So he said, all night, I plugged tissues up my nose trying to talk like a rat. Yeah. And he goes on from there, and it's such a funny story. And he talks about when Dusty Rhodes' reaction to when the Ascension got called up, and before like it was announced, he saw Dusty, and Dusty was depressed, and he was like, "What's wrong, Dusty?" And he went, "Fucking Egyptians." He tells you the full story, but when you think about when the Ascension got called up to the main roster, they look like fucking Egyptians.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
Great guy. Really good interview, so that should be out this week. But yeah, like I said, it's to privilege being able to speak to these people, and like never in my wildest dreams I thought I'd be speaking to them, but here I am, and hopefully it just keeps going.
So let's get the show on the road. Our first segment is called Crack Open a Cold One, where we drink beers and talk wrestling. We actually have some questions that our listeners sent in, but before we can answer that, Sack Daddy, what's on the menu tonight?
I'm drinking a Cape May IPA Nitro from Cape May Brewery. It's 6.3%. It's slightly bitter American IPA, but Nick, I'm really enjoying it. It's one of the better IPAs I ever had, honestly.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. James?
Not exactly a cold one, but a warm one. I'm keeping with the gimmick and I'm having a nice cup of tea.
All right, let's get on with the first question of this episode.
Doing there, Nick and Alex. I just want to say thank you for making a great WWE podcast. I would like to know, who do you think the best wrestler is of all time?
James, you want to start us off, sir?
Cool. It's a toughie. Depends. When you say the best wrestler of all time, depends what kind of criteria you want to put it in. So say for me, so for example, for me, the best in-ring worker of all time is Bret Hart. As for drawing money, crowds and things like that, it's got to be out of the three, isn't it? It's got to be out of Hogan, Rock and Austin. So I would have to say after be Austin as the biggest star in wrestling of all time, but obviously The Rock has transcended wrestling and he's the biggest star in the world at the minute. I mean, the guy's gonna end up becoming president, so that's a guarantee. So yeah, in-ring worker, I would say the best of all time is Bret. As for the actual draw and biggest star, I would have to say Austin.
Yeah, I mean, mine, the greatest of all time, and I look at it similar to you. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin. I know he wasn't the best in ring, but come on, he sold everything when it came to merch, when it came to, just anything. He sold absolutely everything. He made the WWE what it is today, you know? So you can't go wrong with Bret. You can't go wrong with Rock. You can't go wrong with, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Sacco, let's hear it.
Mine's Hogan. I mean, like James said, he was between the Rock. He was the big star. He sold everything. But would there be wrestling without Hogan? I mean, let's be real. He was the first iconic superstar, and he brought it to the light and where it is today. And as previously on episodes, we did Mount Rushmore. He was my number one on Mount Rushmore. So I'm going to stick with him as the best wrestler of all time would be Hogan. I mean, but like you said, you could go any one of those. And you couldn't be wrong.
Obviously, I know Hogan has said some questionable things now, but I still don't think he gets the respect what he actually deserves of what he actually done for wrestling. Like Sacco said, without Hogan, would there be wrestling on TV these days? I think it would be like the circus going round the towns, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that makes so much sense. I mean, he was the big star in New York, you know, in that territory, and it's just... I don't know. Like you said, he's done some questionable things, but in ring, you can't beat that. You can't beat that. Let's get on with the next question.
Calling in 5'8" from Naperville, Illinois. This is Peter. Nick and Alex, I'm loving the show so far. My question for you is, who is the most overhyped wrestler of all time? For me, it's Roman Reigns. The amount of show he's been ending. Jeez Louise.
I think it's Jinder Mahal. He could have been a contender. He could have been successful. But in ring, he didn't have personality. He wasn't good on the mic. I mean, it took 170 days to get noticed. And then when it was over... it was over like that, you know? I don't know. I think he's overhyped. I think he's going to, you know, have a return soon in 2020 or maybe, you know, 2021. What about you, James? What do you think?
Yeah, I've got a couple. One of them, and he's got a big support online, is Mustafa Ali. If he puts, like, a tweet out, people's like, Mustafa Ali should have been WWE champion by now. I'm like, why? And they say he deserves it. And same again, I'm like, how? I think I've seen him win like 5 or 6 matches since he's been in WWE.
Exactly.
He's one of them. The other one, this is going to be a bit controversial.
Let's hear it.
I've never got around Kevin Owens. He's a good promo, but to me, he's like really whiny. He just like shouts and not like good. He's like, okay, me. And it's like that sort of, and I'm like, he's just annoying. I've never got, like, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people that loves Kevin Owens, and yeah, on his day he can be good, but I've never seen him as like a main eventer at all, and I do believe he's truly overhyped. Same with Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn looks like a piece of shit. Okay, he's not in shape at all, and is he good in the ring? He's okay, but just look at the guy. I'm sorry, but I have
You're
to speak
killing
my
me.
But, Zachary, what do you got?
I got, I went all time, not just in today's era, but mine was JBL. I mean, outside of his title reign, he did put over John Cena, but he didn't have the it factor for me. I mean, he came out in that stupid limo every time, and he was just okay on the mic. I mean, I thought his career could be a lot better, and it was definitely overhyped career. I go with JBL.
Just a big loser. Remember that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he's similar to Hogan too, right, James? I mean, he's done a lot of questionable things.
Well, this is it. I actually enjoyed his title reign. I think he's one of the, I actually think he's one of the last actual good heel champions. And when I say a heel, I don't mean a heel what gets cheered or gets fans saying, oh, he's such a good heel. Yeah. I'm talking about a heel what people actually despised.
Yes.
But someone who they despised but actually paid to watch get his ass kicked. Exactly. You know what I mean? I actually like JBL. And yeah, he's known for being a bully backstage. And when I have done interviews, I try and get like some stories on them. And it's weird, I talked to JTG and I said, what was JBL like? He said he was actually pretty cool. So well, there you go.
All right, we got the next question.
Hey, this here's Big Rick Johnson coming on down 295. My question is, who do you think is the next big star of pro wrestling? Thank you. Eater done.
This is actually one of the toughest questions one of our fans asked us. I dug deep in here, and I went with Pat McAfee. I mean, Pat McAfee only has two matches on the NXT brand, but I've been impressed with both of them. I mean, he puts his body on the line. He does need a little work, but his mic skills are unbelievable. And I think if he's given the push, I think Pat McAfee could be a big star, and that's what I'm going with. I mean, it's out of the box, but...
Yeah, that's not just out of the box. That's out of left field, dude. He's only had two matches.
But have both matches been good, though?
Because of Adam Cole. I'm going to go with somebody from AEW, Wardlow. This guy is huge. I'm telling you, I said it in the other episodes. I said, I mean, if he doesn't sign with AEW, he's going to WWE. Vince loves big guys, and he's just, I don't know. I really dig him. I really like what he's doing with MJF, but he needs a singles push. James, what do you got, brother?
Like Sacco said, this is a tough one. So I can't see anyone getting to, like, say, the John Cena sort of level anytime soon, being that big of a star. In AEW, I would probably say Hangman Page. It looks like eventually they'll build up to that match between him and Omega for the championship, and more than likely he'll be the one to take the championship off him. And if they go ahead and try and concentrate on him being the big star in AEW, it's probably him. WWE, I like Sacco's shout of McAfee. That's something I never thought of, but
exactly,
he's been fucking impressive since he's been here. So, you know, that's a good answer. Like, a lot of people would have said Matt Riddle, but he's done some allegedly done questionable things. Every time you same with like Velveteen Dream, he was gonna be the next big star, but now he's done questionable things, so exactly. You don't know who to say without getting into some sort of controversy. I don't know, probably keep your eye on Buddy Murphy. I reckon like they're planning something long term with him. Obviously, he's in the program with Seth. Obviously, even Becky's just had a baby, congratulations. Yeah, they're starting to get behind Murphy a little bit, and he's definitely got the talent in the ring. And what is he, 31 year old, if that? So yeah. Still a young guy, really, compared to wrestling age. So I might be completely off the boil. He might end up getting released next week, but I'll have a punt and say Buddy Murphy, like, keep an eye out for him. Honorable mention, Impact Wrestling, Chris Bay and Ace Austin. They're two to look out for.
What about TJP, man? He's got something.
He's another one to look out for. Like Impact, they've got some good lads there. And TJP, he might have a big year. I was thinking of making a video like ones to watch for 2021, which I'm hoping to put out soon. And he might be on the list.
Let's get on with the final question.
How you doing? This is Tony from North Jersey. And I got a question for you two little pricks. What current wrestler do you think deserves a push? And Sacco, don't you dare say John Cena.
Oh, man, these fans, dude, these listeners, they love you, Sacco.
I mean, James is going to not like this answer, but my answer is Kevin Owens.
I know.
I think KO should be Money in the Bank winner. I think KO should probably win the Rumble. I mean, he's feuding with Roman Reigns right now, but he's not going to get on top of that. I mean, whatever he does is gold. I mean, I guess he's a face in this feud with Roman, but he's been gold for a while, and his mic work has been great. I mean, his in-ring work's questionable, but Kevin Owens needs a push.
All right, for me, I mean, I got two people. The first one is Chad Gable. I mean, look what they did with Ruff in NXT. He just became the North American champion. You know, he lost it, but it was really cool to see. And I just think Chad Gable needs that push. He deserves it. That gimmick is done. That Shorty G, please get rid of that. I mean, it's just, it's just I don't want to say disrespectful, but it's kind of annoying because he's a you know, he was in the Olympics. Like, he is a guy that needs to be pushed to the moon. And my second one is Jungle Boy. I love him. I think he needs to be a singles wrestler. I just can't see him with Jurassic Express. I mean, he has everything you need. He has the name. He has the recognition. James, what do you got, brother?
Yeah, two guys. One, the guys, he's more likely to get released soon than he will be pushed. Aleister Black, especially with his missus leaving, and looks like she's going to be bringing a lot of hellfire towards WWE if the Screen Actors Guild comes along. But yeah, Aleister Black, he was booked so perfect. And this is the thing, like, I hate it. Like there has been some success stories from NXT to WWE, but there's been a lot of disappointments. And Aleister Black is one of them. So good in NXT, and they just try to change his gimmick, like with someone knocking on his door, whatever they were thinking.
Yeah, like Breaking Bad.
He's one of them. Yeah, the other one, and I'm surprised how poorly he's been used, similar sort of thing, Robert Roode, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah,
he was like their Triple H, you could say. And in NXT, great theme song, perfect gimmick, really good champion. Within months of him being called up to the main roster, it was like, damn, they've just wasted him. I mean, one of my things was like, and I kept fancy booking it, like while he was in WWE, why not give him a stable, have Triple H as the manager, him be your world champion, the Revival's your tag champions while they were still there, and EC3, who's been the guy who's been the biggest ball dropped on him, how they wasted EC3. But yeah, I would say Aleister Black and Robert Roode, but I would also like to see Cesaro at least have one main event push where they give him the ball and see what they can do with it, but I think that's going to be too late.
Yeah, I think the ship has sailed, to be honest. I love him. I don't think they know what to do with him. I mean, he could be somebody that goes to AEW and just, you know, does wonders over there. There's a few other names like Ricochet, right? Like, you could see that. You would want to see that. What about women? Are there any women? I mean, both of you.
Bianca Belair.
Yeah.
Bianca can shoot her to the moon.
Yeah.
That's the woman that I think. You're not talking about the Becky Lynch's. They're already owned to the moon, but Bianca is the next one, I think. And we're going to start to see it. The seeds are being planted on SmackDown with the Bayley feud. And I think we're going to start to see Bianca be shot to the moon very soon.
What about you, James?
She had a push, and then it was quickly taken away. And I just wanted her to get it back. Rhea Ripley.
I forgot about it. Yes.
Yeah, like, she had the big win against Baszler, and, you know, she's doing great. The match at WrestleMania with Charlotte, they apparently, I just read there, funny enough, ironically, Triple H for WrestleMania wanted it to be a triple threat between her, Charlotte, and Bianca Belair, and have Rhea go over. But then Vince was like, oh no, we got to get Charlotte over. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I like Charlotte. I think Charlotte's one of the best women wrestlers, if not the best women's wrestler of all time. But yeah, I need like old school Rhea Ripley back and start dominating things, because she's so unique as well in like the way she looks and that. So yeah, but I don't have much faith in WWE to do that. So we'll see. Yeah.
Well, what do you think happened after WrestleMania? She wasn't injured, right, Rhea?
No, because they done that NXT in your house where like it was between her, Charlotte, and Io one. I don't know. It was the worst thing in the world for her. Like, after WrestleMania, she just went downhill, and they even had War Games this past weekend, and she was on the losing side. It looks like it's leading up to a match between her and I think it's Mercedes Martinez. I think that's her name, or Raquel Diaz. It's a Hispanic name. Dakota's sidekick. So Dakota's someone who I like as well. Probably because she's easy on the eyes. But since WrestleMania, like, Rhea Ripley, her booking's just been terrible. So it'd be interesting to see if she recovers, because she's too unique not to recover. So see how it goes.
James, we appreciate it. Thank you for joining us on the Universal Wrestling Podcast. We look forward to seeing you in the future. Any last things you want to do? You want to promote your Twitter next episode? Go ahead, brother. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's been great fun. It's good to be in the Bobby Heenan position and just have like no notes and just like relax. But yeah, if you want to check out my YouTube channel or my podcast, it's on Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, wherever you find your podcast. Yeah, like I said, we do interviews, top 25 music countdowns, which is pretty fun to put together.
Yeah.
Pay-per-view reviews we're bringing back. And I've got a few ideas kicking about what I'm going to start doing. So you could head over there and hit a like and a subscribe. Also doing a giveaway at the minute. If you subscribe, we're on the road to 500 subs. So subscribe and you automatically enter a chance to win WWE Battlegrounds on a console of your choice. So might as well enter it. If it's not for yourself, it can be for a family member for Christmas. So you can find me there. And if you want to, find me, I'm on Instagram, that 90s Wrestling Podcast, and I'm also on Twitter at 90s Wrestling Pod. And yeah, just follow me and I'll follow you back.
Awesome. James, we love it. Thank you again. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Again, we want to thank James from That 90s Wrestling Podcast. Let's get on with the next question. Here we go.
Hi, this is William, but my friends call me Bill. I'm calling from my mom's basement, and I have a question for you guys. What do you guys think is the best thing about wrestling? I know what I think is the best thing. It's the divas and the women because of the boobies.
Thanks for the question. We call them women now. It's not divas. So let's get that straight before the Universal Wrestling Podcast is canceled. Sack Daddy, I'll let you have this one. What do you got?
This is actually a really intriguing question. When I sit down and think about the best thing about wrestling, you know, that you could go with, you know, a lot of things. The fans, you know, get rowdy up. But I think it's probably the storylines and seeing how creative and non-creative they can get with each wrestler and each storyline. That's like most intrigues me. I mean, you can see like the Roman Reigns now storyline, how he's a heel. He's getting like really personal with, you know, yes, the Uso and the family. And I think that's probably the best thing, to see how they go from one storyline to the other and see how personal they get and the adjustments they make. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the storylines are awesome. But what I love is the moments, you know, the moments that just come out of nowhere that were created by us, by the fans. For instance, the Yes Movement. Moments like that are what I live for. It wasn't designed for Daniel Bryan to win at WrestleMania against two Hall of Famers. It just happened because of the fans.
That's awesome. Yeah, I agree. I kind of like Kofi Kingston's title run. That definitely wasn't planned.
No, not at all.
The fans made Kofi a champion.
Yeah. All right, let's get on with the next question.
What's going on, fellas? This is Skeeter calling in from Vineland, New Jersey. I just wanted to ask a question, get your opinion on who you think the most underrated wrestler is of all time. Thanks.
I mean, off the top of my head here, I'm going to say Regal. I mean, he was really good in the United Kingdom and overseas, but when it came to the United States, he was looked at as, you know, a mid-carder, and that's about it. He won his titles, the European title. I mean, he's done very well. He hasn't won the, you know, obviously the championships, the WWE championship, but I don't know. I think he was very quiet. He did really good in WCW.
I would throw somebody out there and like Tajiri. I just think he came up in the wrong, I don't want to say the wrong time, but could you imagine Tajiri today with Paul Heyman on the microphone? Like, that was his main problem. Like, he could not speak, but his in-ring ability was incredible.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, the list can go on, too. I mean, Lance Storm,
right.
I feel like, I mean, yeah, he was boring. I don't know how much of that was true, but in ring, he kicked ass. I mean, I could think of, I mean, so many Attitude Era superstars come to mind. Steve Blackman.
Right.
Bam Bam exactly. Bigelow. I mean, the list goes on. Ken Shamrock. I mean, Godfather, D'Lo Brown. They were all so underrated, but right. so good at what they did. That's a good one, because you got to look at it this way, too. Underrated doesn't mean they haven't won anything. It's just, you know, from a fan's perspective, which wrestler has never really got to the top of that so-called, you know, ladder?
Right.
And then we can look at current wrestlers like Gable. You can look at, I mean, you won't like this, but Corbin, I think he's underrated. I think he's really good in the ring and on the mic. I mean, the list goes on and on. Do you have anyone that you can think of currently?
Dolph Ziggler.
Well, he may be actually the most underrated wrestler of all time.
Dude, I don't know how he's still with the company, how many times they buried him, they kicked dirt on him. And it's just incredible.
All right, let's get on with the next question.
And I just wanted to know, who or what in wrestling annoys you the most? Thanks a lot, guys. You guys are doing great.
I guess the number one thing is when the superstars allow the crowd, the fans, to control them. And then they complain on Twitter the next day or something. Like, I couldn't say what I needed to say. Well, you have the mic. Like Punk said, it's a pipe bomb. That's your mic. No one else has that mic. No one else has that voice in the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the who is easy for me. Corbin, I just hate that guy. But the what, the thing in wrestling, I should say, that bothers me is, like, for instance, somebody gets a big moment at WrestleMania, wins the belt. Then the following night on Raw, they just drop it.
Drop the title.
Like, what is the point of that?
No, I agree.
It just annoys the shit out of me. Like, a perfect example, you said Zack Ryder. That was an awesome moment at WrestleMania. And he should have went a little bit farther with the belt, with the title reign, instead of dropping it on the next night on Raw. It was so exactly. stupid.
I just don't get what Vince didn't see in him. He's big. Yeah, I know he's not the best talker, but he could, you know, do well on the mic. I don't know. He had the muscles. I know that Vince loves the big guys.
It's crazy, but that definitely, I mean, there's a lot of things that annoy me, but that thing definitely sticks out because, I don't know, I get so frustrated because I'm so happy for the guy at one point and then go next night and he just drops it. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things I could say here. I mean, the whole creative process, I just don't get that. Annoys me. Vince McMahon is so busy throughout the whole week. He never sleeps. You know, he works out, he goes to the office, he does whatever he does. And then when it comes time for Friday Night SmackDown, he rewrites the script 5 minutes before. So you're going to tell me throughout the whole week, you couldn't think about this until 5 minutes before SmackDown begins? That's what annoys me.
Right, you're absolutely right. That does piss me off that Vince doesn't. Vince overthinks shit too much.
Yeah.
You know, just write the script like you said. You have the whole week and just let it flow, man. Just let it go. Stop overthinking it, man. I mean, yes. Everybody does that in everyday life, but like you said, get somebody over top of him, but he's a stubborn motherfucker, so.
Yes, I mean, like I said, he had all week and then he waits 5 minutes to rewrite it. It's like, dude, what the hell?
Hey, Deets and Alex, it's Heather. I was just curious, in your guys' opinion, which current wrestler do you think is the best on the mic?
Wow, Heather, thank you for the question. That was definitely a better question than Skeeter's. It's got to be The Miz. And I think he's the best. The character that he's playing, the heel character that he is now, I don't dig. I like the Miz from 2 or 3 years ago where, you know, he stuck it to John Cena and he, you know, he said what people really wanted to hear. So I think he's the best. Go ahead, Sacco.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Miz is definitely up there, but I chose Bray Wyatt.
Okay.
I wowie, wowie.
Oh, God.
When Bryce speaks, I am glued to the TV. There is not one boring promo that he does.
No, I agree with you. And, I mean, you can even say Randy Orton, too. I mean, he's really, really good. When he was the champ for a week or two, his promos before and after that feud with McIntyre were amazing. I mean, he's just overall, he's just, you know, an A-plus player in my book.
Right. I mean, the list could go on and on. Orton elevates everybody because Edge was great, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the best all time. You knew about best all time. You know, come on. You know it.
I do not. Not really? This time.
Really? You don't know? Cena.
Cena. Okay. Yeah. He is.
You could go on and on, really. It's kind of an intriguing question from Miss Money in the Bank.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. That was our holiday special. We really appreciate it. James, we thank you again for the 20 millionth time. We appreciate it. Sacco, happy holidays, brother. Any last words for our beautiful fans?
Happy holidays to you, brother. I just want to take a moment to wish all our listeners, all our followers, all our fans, happy holiday, happy new year. And we're continuing this journey in 2021. And I hope you stick around with us because bigger and better things are coming. And like I said, be safe out there. Hopefully we get through these tough times. We're back in WWE ring again, packing the stadiums.
Yes, sir. You couldn't say it any better. Chuck Berry, take us away.
Run, run.